The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Welcome, everybody, to Bird's Eye View. I'm Jesse. I'm here with Mike, who got here in the nick of time, bearing the little one, the new one.
So who needs prep?
Who needs prep?
But yes, we'll do the show with a sleeping baby in the corner.
Well, knock on wood, folks, so the baby stays sleeping.
Yes.
That's kind of the important part.
All they really do is sleep.
Also, I'd feel remiss. We don't always talk about a huge variety of sports here, but sure. The figure skating community, with that crash over D.C. last night.
News to me.
Yeah. It happened late last night. Army helicopter collided with a passenger plane that was trying to land in D.C.
Army helicopter? Jeez.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty bad. Anyway, we're with all those affected families. I believe was leaving from Kansas, stopping in D.C., and then I think heading to Boston. So if you're affected by that, our thoughts are with you. Now, but moving on to slightly lighter subjects, it's been an odd few days for me because I was out of Massachusetts. I was in New Hampshire, so I wasn't had a ton of stuff, but I did see some interesting games. Mike was probably at a couple of things. Last night I was at Taconic Hockey, which did not go very well for
the Thunder. Yeah, you can start there briefly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was, we were supposed to have two hockey games, and then Chicopee apparently said, we can't get up to you because of the snow or traffic. There was an accident on the pike. People who I talked to made it seem like Chicopee didn't want to smoke.
Howard was at an MCLA men's basketball game that started an hour late against Worcester State. So Worcester State was traveling. Yeah, I think like a semi flipped on the near Beckett or something. Yeah.
That
could have been a reason. I don't know the full reason, but McCann Tech Hockey did not play. I think they have played a little more recently. The wild part about the Taconic one was, they just hadn't played in 14 days for whatever scheduling quirk
and
it was.
And McCann didn't play for 14 days either. It seems like a lot of hockey teams kind of between that December or Christmas to New Year's area, they just had like 2 weeks off. In any case, so it started off great. Taconic's up 2-0, and then East Hampton scored 5 straight, and that was the game. And from the jump, East Hampton seemed better, but they got in their own way. They committed a bunch of dumb penalties, and Taconic had, I don't know, 4 or 5 power plays just at the start of the game, and they scored off them, and they went up 2-0. Probably the sign that things didn't go well. So East Hampton got a 5-minute major called on them, and so in that there was also 2 other power play opportunities. So Taconic had basically 5 minutes of being up 2 men. They were up 5-on-3, and they only scored 1 goal off that. And that's not a great sign. And so then East Hampton got stopped being, shooting itself in the foot, and they started winning. And, they just gave them the lumber. They hit them. They were physical. They were aggressive. And Taconic didn't want anything to do with it. And East Hampton hung out near the net. And so that way when, Hunter Shepherdson, the goalie, did a pretty good job of deflecting the first one. And then whereas the defense is supposed to clear the puck, the defense was not clear of the puck, and East Hampton would just pop in the rebound, and that was the game. So, it's a tough one for Taconic, and they got a rough stretch because on Saturday they go to Newtown, Connecticut to face a big school team, Connecticut team. That'll be a test. Then on next Tuesday or Wednesday they host McCann, so that's a county rival, and the following, then Friday, so next Friday, 8 days from today, they go out to Framingham, near Mike's neck of the woods, to play Keefe Tech. So that's, and Keefe Tech, I believe, is 6-3, and that's another, more Eastern Mass team, or I guess Central Eastern Mass team. And so, it's just, this, they had an opportunity to get a good start to that stretch, and they did not do very well with it. So, we will see how they adjust.
The worrying, it's the most worrying part is that they keep going up in these games and keep letting up these massive goal totals late, just strings of goals to finish these games, which is, it's now no longer a concern. It's a theme, and that's a hard thing to break. I've seen it happen twice already this season. Obviously, it happened again last night, and now they're kind of getting to the danger of not making postseason tournaments for a team coming off a Western Mass title. It's concerning.
No, I think they're still third in Class B in Western Mass, I want to say. Someone's right behind them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there's a huge gap. So they definitely, and East Hampton is actually behind them in the power ratings. So they don't have any.
Yeah, East Hampton was another team with a losing record entering.
Yeah.
They give up. Five unanswered, I guess.
Five unanswered.
I mean, they answered eventually, but yeah.
They gave up five unanswered, and then they scored a third in with the game already over. So
it's tough. It's a deeper job to kind of examine hockey through a what happened lens. It's like on life support, you would say.
What are you talking about in Berkshire County?
It's wider than Berkshire County. It's not a Berkshire County problem on its own.
Oh, it's a Western Mass problem for sure.
Western Mass problem.
I was actually just looking this up yesterday because it came to. I just realized that South Hadley isn't in the league, and I was like, when I first started here, I definitely covered Taconic and South Hadley, and that was. My mm-hmm. first year at the Eagles, the last year of South Hadley having a hockey program. And this year's the first year of Belchertown no longer having a hockey program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they keep dropping out.
Yeah. I mean, Mount Everett, obviously. This is a seven school hockey team that we're talking about. And it's wider than, I mean, I talked to earlier this season, the head coach down at St. Raphael, who was from Pittsfield. And he was saying, because I kept calling his team one thing, and he's like, oh, actually, we're this, but we're under that umbrella because we are also a co-op.
The Catholic schools are allowed to be co-ops? What?
but when St. Joe still existed out here, it wound up co-oping into, that was the St. Pitonic, was the name that they had chosen, for the three Pittsfield city schools. And now it's everybody all in one.
Yeah. You do see a fair amount of co-ops even out east amongst the bigger schools. I will say what I love about what Taconic does is there's a little patch above everyone's nameplate, and it's all the schools, you know, that, so if you're from Wacona, they got the Wacona patch,
Pittsfield, get a little pride,
PHS,
yeah.
Pittsfield P Monument, et cetera, et cetera. So that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you should. I think that would be something to adopt for other sports as well.
Hockey, they have it on their helmet. So there's a decal on the helmet, so that's cool. But for wrestling or
like
for,
wrestling, it's just so it's so because we obviously we're heavy into football in the fall, and then you come into the winter, and immediately West Dews is wrestling for Taconic High School, and saying like Taconic's West Dews just doesn't seem right. Doesn't sound right. Jacob Borowski, Jaquan Val, these Hoosick Valley football players are wrestling for Mount Greylock.
On that same note, for Drury, if they could find a way to have like the Greylock logo on the jersey, you know, for football.
That's true.
This year they didn't, but they did twice. They played a game at Greylock.
Yeah.
And they wore the Greylock uniform. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's tough.
It's tough, yeah.
You gotta get out there and procreate, people.
I'm working on it. You're doing your part to are your kids gonna be hockey?
I don't think they're gonna play hockey, but we'll see.
unless he's on skates already.
He is not.
Yeah. So
thought about it. Yeah. Though.
It's a whole mess of problems. But let's move on to let's get a win in here. On Tuesday, just because I was there, I saw Drury. They got off. They had lost kind of a game that I didn't expect them to lose. Certainly against Wacona on this past Friday. And it was a close game. It was like, I think Drury was even up at half. And then Wacona just stormed down the third, and that was the game. And they
lost pretty big. Yeah, it was like...
They lost by 14.
14, yes.
And Jack Reset, after my game Tuesday, they beat Mahar. They were up 19 at halftime, and they held on to win by 8. And Jack Reset was like, the Wacona game, it got out of our hands in the third, and we never recouped, and I kind of don't even know why it got out so quickly. And this game almost was the same. Drury got bullied on the glass. Completely, you know, Mahar crushed him on the boards. And in the first half, it didn't matter as much because Jury was making shots. And so it's like, all right, Mahar's getting its own rebounds, but they're not getting yours. And in the second half, they weren't making shots. So now Mahar is making sure Jury goes one and done offensively, and they're getting second and third chances on offense. And I mean, there was at least two instances where Mahar missed both. Someone went to the line. They would miss both free throws. So you're going, okay, well, it doesn't matter. And then they'd get their offensive rebound and score. Mm. It's like, this is just, it's unacceptable. It was not. I mean, they were missing Connor Hinkle, who's big in that kind of a physical environment. But it was not a great performance from Sam Moorman, and it was my first time seeing Jorge Bonds this year. He's definitely a lot taller.
Yes.
than I remember him from last looks season. Like, yes, still looks young. He's a sophomore. But yeah, it was a thoroughly impressive performance from him. He made the shots he needed to shoot. Last year he was a shooter, right? And that's still why he's lethal. But it was the driving. He drove into traffic and scored. He had, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 assists. A couple of them were pretty nice, you know, driving kick stuff. And just the evolution of his game is huge. And I really was just impressed by him talking to his teammates, you know. And it seemed like, you know, hey, keep your head up. Don't worry about it. Wouldn't have to play all that kind of stuff. And I love what Jacker said. It was like, yeah, that's next level. You know, you want to be great. We talked to him about this. All our great players. Like, it's the next level stuff. The passing, the being a leader. Like, if we want to go far, we need him to do that. And it looks like he's doing that. And that's why they won. He had a great fourth quarter after kind of the whole team didn't have a good third. And, you know, Lucas Hamilton had some nice plays, some nice rebounds, some nice scoring. Braden Durant was hit a couple big shots. So, yeah, it was a nice kind of get-right win for Drury because they have Lenox, I want to say, tomorrow. And that's a rivalry game. Then they have Pioneer Valley on Tuesday. Their Tuesdays are really, like, weirdly difficult. Friday's not so much. But so next Tuesday they have Pioneer Valley, which leads their league, is the number one team in D5, is the number one team in Class D, and bullied Drury the first game. And then the Tuesday after they have Hoosick Valley. So it's a brutal stretch.
Yeah, it's almost, I take it as, like, take these power rankings somewhat with a grain of salt, because Drury was coming into, I think, at last Friday's power rankings, they came out, they were, you know, number three team in the state in Division 5. And as good as they are, I don't know that they're a top three team in the state.
I get what you mean. They've dropped since. They're now, yes, yeah, now they're like eight.
Yeah. So it's like, and Wakona, obviously, on the flip side of that, Wakona's not your typical, whatever they are, 4-13 team, 3-9, whatever they wind up being right now.
I think they're 30th in D4, I want to say.
Yeah, a team
that's
kind of well under 500, but plays not a much, much more difficult schedule than Drury does. Drury plays a pretty decent schedule, given the Pioneers, the Greenfields, the Hoosick. Obviously, they played Wakona, they played Monument. But, yeah, it wasn't a, I guess, a complete shock that Wakona beat them, but it's a little concerning that, you know, okay, this is a bit of a recipe for beating Drury is get a long, you need to be long out on the perimeter. Long inside, Drury can somewhat handle, can mitigate somewhat, but it's having multiple guys with length that can bother Jorge Bond, and when they don't, like, all the stuff Jorge's doing right now is that a necessity?
Yeah, and Rashad said that too.
He doesn't score 31; they're not winning,
right? And no, Rashad said that we need other people to score, right? Like, they need other guys to step up, and so that is going to be what decides their season down the line. You know, if they can win a Western Mass title or not, if they can, you know, go to the Final Four in states, like, can other people step up? And you know, I hope this was just an off night for Sam Moorman, because he could be that guy, I think. But it was not a performance that inspired a lot of confidence. We're going to take a little break, folks, and we'll come back with some more basketball talk. So keep it locked here on WTBR.
Mexicans, Bigfoot, Koreans,
yep.
Garbage Pail Kids.
We got something for just about everybody.
Hipster.
WTBR.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home. at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent, our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television. Democracy starts here.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Welcome back, folks. Bird's Eye View here on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee, Jesse and Mike.
Hello.
And so, yes, hello. you surprised me with that one.
Sorry.
In any case, so we're talking about Drury Boys basketball and where they can go from here, secondary scoring options, and that reminded me of Drury Girls and Who's the Girls, which was this past Thursday, so a week ago from today. And that was a game where I saw Hoosick have somebody step up as that next scoring option. And that was Genevieve LeJess. And this was kind of a game I was waiting for her. You know, sometimes there's kids you see and you're like, they're good, but they're young, and you're kind of waiting for them to break out. And that was how I thought of her after softball season, because she was their first baseman. She had a really good bat. She was a very good player. And I was like, because last year she didn't get any time really on basketball, and that's because Hoosick was loaded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. I mean, hey, they won a state title. It worked. And this year she was more in the starting lineup. And I was going, when's kind of that breakout going to be? And this was it. And it was an impressive performance. I want to be polite saying this, but like, she slimmed down. She slimmed down coming into the season, and she's still a physical player. Mm-hmm. And I think early in the season, and John Frederick, who's the coach, said as much. Like, she'd be getting a lot of dumb fouls, you know, throwing elbows when she's trying to rebound and not having her feet set on defense and all this kind of stuff. And so they didn't play her. They couldn't play her much because she'd get two fouls on her in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's in and out, and she stayed, you know, normal in the Drury game, and she was great. She was a beast on the glass. She pulled down rebounds. She scored 16 points, led all scores, you know, and Hoosick won 41-32, I want to say, something like that. And it was just, it was big. She was their offense. She was a big part of their defense, and Emma Medzwar is probably the most consistent scorer. Ashlyn Legere is probably their second most consistent scorer. So now to have another person and kind of have that next in line, because they had Gabby Billets as the dominant center, then they had Taylor Garabedian as the dominant center, and now they have that next center, and this one's a freshman,
mm-hmm.
right? So they'll have her for a while. So that was great to see. Just other people step up. Also, should mention Gianna Wittick, because she is an eighth grader, and she can't be more than 4'11". And it was pretty funny to see her guard, you know, not that Drury has guards who are 6 foot, but they, you know, it's like when you see a 7-inch height difference, it's pretty funny. And she played some suffocating defense. She was not a weak spot on defense. And for Drury, I think this one is going to sting for a long time, because they could have won this game. You know, they absolutely could have won this game. Drury has not won this rivalry in over a decade. And this game was there for the taking. They just couldn't make shots. They couldn't make free throws. The number of, you know, fast break wide open layups that they missed was entirely too high. And yeah, it's really tough. They're gonna have to kind of take this one on the chin. You know, they got a win over Taconic yesterday, and that one went to overtime. And it kind of seems like they won because Jalen Walker fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, our jury's gonna have to figure some things out. Whereas Hoosick kind of looks like they're back to being Hoosick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a certain point in the season, we're going, all right, you know, even if they're winning, they're not really winning pretty. And what's going on with the Hurricanes? And now the machine looks back in order.
Yeah, six straight they've won. Heading into the weekend.
I was going to say, they have a huge game with South Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
South Hadley, you know, looks one of the best teams in D4. And they beat Pittsfield in the Class B Western Mass title last year. They were D4 state runner-up last year. They, I think, have whooped on Hoosick and Wakona this year so far. So that's a massive game. But even still, yeah, they're, like you said, six straight.
Yeah, that game's Monday. South Hadley comes to Cheshire. 7 o'clock start there. Hoosick is at Munson tonight, and they wrap up at Amherst. We can see one big game left.
We can see you're from Western Mass. Or sorry, we can see you're from Central Mass. You said Amherst.
Amherst. How am I supposed to say it?
No H.
Amherst.
You're from Worcester area. Amherst, yeah. If you're everyone from the Worcester area says it with an H. They say Amherst.
Oh. Little did I know.
These are the things you're taught when you're not.
I'm from Worcester.
When you're not from Western Mass, and then you go to UMass. These are the things they teach you. They say, all right, the correct way is Amherst, but if they're from Worcester, they're going to say Amherst, and it's cool.
I see. Okay. The only basketball scene, I've been kind of at a lot of skiing over the past few days and swimming on Friday, but the basketball I saw was it Monday? Yes, it was Monday because I went after Alpine. Lee was at Lennox, and Lennox just kind of continues passing every test that's thrown at them. This was a bit of another one. They handled Lee pretty good in the season opener. Lee put up a little more of a fight in this one, but come time to win, Lennox just had way more firepower, way more experienced, I guess, high-level experienced girls who can handle the ball, who can score, who can pass. And, it just kind of seems like they're chugging along. And what's going to kind of hinder them? Unfortunately, Lee got a taste of what could hinder them last night.
Yeah.
When Renaissance came. So I handled the previews for South County. And it happens where you're just looking, and I think Nicole Patella said as much in a quote in her story, was just, looking at their schedule, being like, could we have gotten a Renaissance in here? Could we have gotten a Hoosick in here?
It feels like a Miami boys last year, right? 18-0, end of Western Mass tournament, and what happens when you face Paysfield boys mm-hmm. in the state.
Even though, I mean, they played, they had to beat Taconic. They had to beat Pittsfield. Hoosick and stuff.
It's a big non-league games. Yeah, Lennox does.
They were the only team to beat Hoosick. But it's just... Yeah, and then I saw, obviously, Lee is like, Lee's playing Renaissance. Drury's playing Renaissance. Why didn't that matchup happen? And Renaissance obviously came out, beat up on Lee, 53-20. They gave 25 points. That's just kind of the style of...
Aren't they in the same league? I think they're in the same league.
Yes. Yeah, that's another issue that we'll address, hopefully, with realignment, McCann also has to play Renaissance twice, which is
I will say, Renaissance has only been a real team for 2 years.
This isn't
like a huge issue. Like, Renaissance has been, crushing this league for years now. They were not a great team up until last year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
that's kind of the only, question but left for Lennox is...
Yeah. How can they handle those kinds of big teams, big tests? Renaissance last year beat Lennox in the Class C, and then Hoosick beat them in the Final Four. And you could tell that Renaissance was young, and they had young coaches, and they were not they were more talented than Hoosick, but they were not a better team. And now they're going to be a better team as well as being extremely talented. So we'll see how Lennox handles that for sure.
Yeah, they'll have, it looks like, Frontier, because I was just looking, like, Greenfield, Hopkins, Palmer, they beat all these teams by 20-plus, East Hampton as well. But they do have Frontier will be here, not this Monday, but next Monday, February 10th. And Frontier's a team that they only beat 55-52 out there. So there is one more kind of test before we get into tournament style games for them.
But, we got a couple more minutes, so let's talk a little skiing, because you had some skiing yesterday.
Yeah, so both locally and kind of afar. Yesterday was a bit, so there's been two Alpine meets this week, and I guess we learned that it's real hard to win two slalom races in the span of 3 days, because on Monday it was kind of business as usual. Liza Mullen, reigning two-time state champion, won the slalom on Monday. Kitson Stover won his third straight slalom of this season. Then come Wednesday, Mullen, I guess, had a hiccup in her run. She drops to fourth. That tacks on probably 5-6 seconds to her time. And Stover, something about a ski popped out. He cards a DNF, and Madison DeGrigley, Oliver Kirby, rise into the first place. It was Kirby's first win.
I'm going to stop you right there. Because Eliza Mullen, I mean, she came out of nowhere last year just because she hadn't been skiing at PHS, and she wins. And so it seems like she, outside of yesterday, seems like she's well on her way to potentially repeating, or at least doing very well in states. Kitson Stover, because he's been dominating Berkshire County, how state-wise, what do we think?
Yeah, it's hard to say. He was pretty solid at states last year. I want to say he finished like just off the medal count, like 17, somewhere around there.
Is he a senior?
Yes, this is a senior year. He has kind of that, he has the drive to do it. He has, I just want to say, like the body type. He's a very, very strong kid. You can see it in the spring when he's on the lacrosse field. He's one of the best kind of attackers in the Berkshires. And the way he skied Monday was just like wildly impressive. It's like kind of forceful watching it kind of buzz by you. And Solemn just gives you that because you get your punch and pulls. On your way down, but just the aggression, and Eliza talked about kind of the aggression of Slalom as well in the aftermath of that meet. So tough to see him DNF. I know he obviously would have liked to have gone kind of run the table in the county. Not going to do that. And the other thing to watch, Monument girls have now won both slaloms. Lennox girls won both GSs. So they are knotted right now with two meets to go. They go kind of like NBA 5. They go 2-2-1-1 for the season. So something's got to give there over the next two. They go again Monday, and then I guess the following week.
And is Greylock still? Oh yeah, Greylock boys have now had some competition on the Alpine
Nordic.
Nordic.
Yeah, Nordic has been. We finally had a meet inside the state boundaries, which was nice. They had had forced to have their first three meets up at Prospect Mountain, but they were at Nacho yesterday, and it was kind of nuts to be there. lots of like, I got there, and the PA guy was like, once these snow tornadoes die down, we'll get started. I was like, oh, snow tornadoes, that's not great.
Yeah, it was windy.
Yeah. Wakona boys won a league meet for the first time in 15 years a few weeks ago. And it looked like the problem with the way they do it is this kind of like segmented start of you don't really know who wins until you look at the final times and they're all put into a chart. So Fritz Saunders was the first guy across, but he's also one of the first two guys to start the race. And the guy he was racing against fell way back into the 20s. So the problem with that is that Fritz didn't have anyone to chase, nobody to push him on his heels. So I'm sure he raced as hard as he could, but it's hard to kind of get to that next level when there's no one, there's no rabbit, there's nothing
right,
behind you.
No care.
Simon Shin had that. He started four racers back, so eight kids out on the course in front of him to chase down or to push right behind him. And he's a Greylock senior. He was fourth in week one, did not race the last 2 weeks, so kind of comes out of nowhere to win this week just with his time. and what that did was he beats Fritz Saunders by 2-1, and Greylock beats Wakona 29-30. So really one spot there was kind of all the difference. Obviously it takes four guys to score. So a lot of variables happened throughout the course of the race, but an impressive for Greylock to kind of be back at it. Fritz Saunders has won, I think, two races. I think Andrew Holland, a lot of the top skiers didn't race the third week. Andrew Holland, I think, of Greylock won that one. Simon Shin wins this one. On the girls' side, it's now been Vienna Mahar out of Wakona, a senior there as well, has come on strong, and she won yesterday. She won, I think, week two. Again, did not race week three, or she didn't also race week one. That was Lauren Miller from Greylock who won that one. But
on the girls' side, Greylock is still...
not quite. Amherst right now is probably the top team just depth wise. It's hard to say once we get to states, a lot can change because there's just so many more skiers, so many more places, so many more numbers you can get. But through 4 weeks, it looks like Amherst kind of dominated yesterday. They just took, I think, spots 4, 5, 6, 7, I think, and got their 22. So they didn't have any of the top three, but you get your points right there and you're done that quickly. Nobody else had kind of 3-4 racers up that high.
Right.
The other thing real quick was Nate Houst. Do want to mention, talk to him yesterday. He won a silver medal at the X Games on Saturday in street style. Snowboarder out of Richmond, Mass. Kind of went to Monument Mountain, did that whole thing. It's his second X Games. So I'll be kind of working on a story there with him. But Was kind of
in the he was in the Josh Billings.
Did the Josh Billings chatted to him about that? Was doing it kind of in honor of his dad. Raised I think $8,000 for a cancer charity that's escaping me right now, but I have it in the story. And yeah, just a really cool guy. Really cool to talk to. Really wild to think that Ski Butternut posted a photo of him from, I want to say, 2011. That was like, I asked him if it was his first contest when he wasn't sure. I couldn't think that far back, but him winning a contest at Butternut now 10 years ago or whatever, and now he's out at the X Games, which is wild. Well,
that's wild. End of the show's wild, so thank you for tuning in, and take it easy.